Welcome back, everyone, to this 37th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. We didn't have any Mesmer reveals yet.
Sorry.
But we have a giant Dervish skill update, basically an overhaul.
Gosh.
And then we have a lot of email that we're going to read. We keep trying to catch up, but we had a lot of great ones. You know, I threw out the challenge last week, and I said, put something interesting in the title, in the subject line, and then I'll read your email. Oh, we got some good ones this week. So I can't wait to read
those. I can't wait to see.
Yeah, be some good ones. But as far as what we've been up to, have you been playing anything else than Worm this week? I mean, dare I ask?
Well, of course I play Guild Wars. I play Guild Wars every week. What about you?
I do not. I have to admit.
Nope, massively overpowered, went out again Thursday night. We did Consulate Docks, and then we went back to Factions and vanquished Melandra's Hope.
Sweet.
And we got to show our watchers, we got to show the viewers what a party wipe looks like.
Wait, that was the first time?
Yes.
That's pretty good. How long have you been doing this? It's been...
May of 2010.
Wow.
Yeah.
Almost a year.
So, I don't think we've... Oh, I'm sure we party wiped at some point in the past, but that was the first live stream party wipe
because
our viewers were like, and that, new people, is what a party wipe looks like. There's this place in Melandra's Hope where, and you know what, this was partially my fault because I was being the Ellie tank again. I got a little cocky.
Uh-huh.
And there's this Rit boss in Melandra's Hope that's hanging out in some water. I guess he's like having a bath all by himself. And you're like, oh, cool, he's by himself, which is so stupid. Yeah. I mean, you know better.
Yeah.
So we all go charging in, and it's like a little pond, and there's a big rock face on either side. So you get in there, and there's only one way out. So we go charging in and take on the Rit boss, and there are like 750 pop-ups right behind us at the entrance.
Nice.
So eventually we figured out that maybe we should run.
Yeah. Aren't they so good at that, though, ArenaNet, with the surprises? And you still fall for it every time.
Yeah, that just speaks to my own stupidity. That doesn't really have anything to do with how good ArenaNet is.
That was a collective view. It means everyone falls
for
that. Yeah,
you would think that we learn the first time we step out of old Ascalon, take five steps, and three devourers come wiggling out of the ground.
That's true, yeah.
You would think we'd learn right then.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and here we are vanquishing factions and, you know, vanquishing Melandra's Hope for like the 87th time and, you know, durr. So we went charging. We tore through Consulate Docks, though. That was fun.
Cool.
Yeah, and I'm capping as I go. I want. I would love to get 50 of 50 in the Hall of Monuments on this character, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going for Legendary Skill Hunter.
You're an animal.
Well, something. I need to go outside more. So that. And then I played some Worm Online, so whoo.
Yay, Worm Online.
Yeah.
We actually get made fun of in an email today.
Yay.
But Worm Online.
Ooh, we have a guy making fun of us for Worm Online. Are we going to read the guy who tells me that my opinion is wrong?
Yes.
Yay! Those are always good emails. Hey, the way you feel? Wrong.
Yeah, but in a loving way, right?
Oh, okay, yeah, that's it. You know what, I do... I had a lot of disagreement on my opinion of the voice work last week.
Oh, yeah.
But almost everybody was so, so nice.
Yeah.
I mean, one guy emailed me and he was like, Ruby, you're still my favorite. But I disagree with you. And I actually love that.
Yeah.
I mean, how boring would it be if we all just sat here going, that's great. I mean, that's a short podcast.
Yeah.
So true. I love that we all have different opinions.
I disagree. Oh, wait.
You hate you hate that we all have differing opinions.
No, actually, I don't. I love that. I mean... Especially like at Massively, you know, we have a wide, wide variety of writers there, and we always disagree. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Someone could literally be looking at like a blue square, and, you know, five people would say, that is red. And we'd be like, no, it's blue. But I mean, that's the beauty of it, you know?
Yeah, we'll be like, are you using Chrome? I heard it's red in Chrome.
Oh, yes. Good point. So, I mean, as far as me this week, I mean, I just two words, Worm Online. That's it.
But you know what? This is so cool. You're going around the world in Worm Online.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, this is a Guild Wars podcast, so I don't want to talk too much about it. But yeah, essentially, I'm The game is set up where it's a giant open sandboxy world, and you can do whatever you want. And right now I got a ship, and I'm sailing around the world. And it'll take probably a few weeks, I imagine. I first estimated about a month, but I'm about halfway through now, and it's only
been flying.
I know. So yeah, it'll probably be after GDC when we get back. So
yeah, you are going to have to hurry up and pick up my alt because I'm getting really bored of making planks. I'm already like, oh man, this is, you know, I'm glad I could help these people and get the spawn point. I'm about done here.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah, I'm ready to start getting my own. So, Guild Wars.
Yes, Guild Wars. Well, the Dervish update. Let's talk about that because they've had quite a bit of changes. And like you mentioned in the Massively post when you wrote this up, you said this is probably the biggest class update for Guild Wars 1 that we've seen yet, right?
It actually is. It's big. It's even bigger than the Mesmer updates. I mean, do you remember Mesmer's got that huge revamp a while back?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dervishes are just new. Yeah. I mean, completely. They've added flash enchantments. Adrenaline is a thing in the Mesmer skill, in the dervish line now.
So what should we name them then if they're completely new? I mean,
Dervish 2.0? New Dervish? Dervish 2? Dervish Beyond.
There we go.
It's like Guild Wars Beyond. Derv Beyond? Does that? I like Dervish Beyond.
Yeah, I think that works.
Okay, I'm going with that. So yeah, there you go. That's what we'll call them.
So okay, we have a lot of these changes involve everything. I mean, they involve every skill has been changed.
90% of them.
90%. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Mysticism now. It says, well, the exact description says, each rank in mysticism reduces the cost of your dervish enchantments by 4%. You have +1 armor per rank of mysticism while you are enchanted. So there you go. I mean, that's a big change right there. Not even including the other changes. What else has been added or changed?
Well, the adrenaline, like I said. Let's see what else. Basically, they are a little bit less squishy. And they do the buzz that I've heard, I mean, I was just watching Alliance chat so carefully last night because we have so many dervishes, is that they do a little bit less damage. So that's...
But is that less damage to one target and more to the sweeping kind of AoE type of thing?
I had the impression it was overall. Oh, and okay. I hate to talk about it too in-depth just because I'm not good with melee. If they had given Ellie's an overhaul, we'd be here for days.
or just wait.
Actually, you know what they did? I do want to, I can insert a little comment because Ellie's did get one update that makes me so happy.
What's that?
Intensity. Do you remember Intensity? It's a... it's a Nightfall skill. It's a Sunspear skill.
Yeah.
And it, you know, just amped up your damage a little bit. Now it causes your damage to hit your next attack... hits surrounding targets as well.
Oh, okay.
I paired that with, before we started with Massively Overpowered last night, I paired it up with Rodgort's and just popped into Consulate Docs real quick to see. It was so pretty. Yellow numbers across the screen. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was like the only thing, Ellie's, that I could really like talk about with some kind of knowledge. But it's awesome. But anyway, so back to dervishes. See, I just needed a moment to talk about something I knew. Flash enchantments are added. That was the other big thing. And those are enchantment spells with an instant cast time. Hmm. And there are, let's see, I'm trying to count, but there's like a huge list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 20.
Oh, wow.
There are 20, and two of them are elites. So that got, and it's stuff that we've known before, like Dust Cloak, Ebon Dust Aura, Aura of Thorns, Attacker's Insight, that sort of thing. But there's no more cast time.
Hmm.
So that they can move a little quicker, which makes sense for a dervish.
Yeah, I mean, they even said in the developer update that kind of the biggest problem with the dervish was the slow cast times, you know, the long
cast
times. And they wanted to make sure that the class is a little bit more playable in that way. So that makes sense.
Yeah. A lot of people have complained that they have to relearn the dervish now. I don't think that's entirely a bad thing.
Yeah, it should be fun. right?
It should. Well, I think so, because I'd like to see Dervish get a little more play. We were joking before we started recording that our Dervs are both mules. And I think there are a lot of Dervish mules. And I would love to see them get into the game more.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of that, they have this in the patch notes here. It says, increase number of storage slots because Dervishes are only good as mules. Oh, wait, that doesn't say that. No.
No, that's on the vandalized Wikia.
Send all hate mail to ruby@guildcast.com.
Ah. So do we have, but you know what, do we have Dervish emails?
Well, no, we don't, actually, because a lot of the emails we got were before that. We got a couple, let's see, yesterday and today. But should we go ahead and read these? We have a lot.
We've got a lot. We can make this an almost all email show.
Yeah.
I want to hear what people think about the Dervish, though.
Yeah, that could be for next show. Unless they announce the Mesmer between now and then.
And then it's just going to be Mesmer.
Yeah. Okay, so this first one, this is actually from 11 days ago. This is prior to last episode, but I wanted to read it. It's from Julie, and she says, hi, folks. This is Julie, NSCaper on Twitter, and Roseate Ambrosia, HOF, House of Falcons in Guild Wars. I've been an avid listener now for well over a year, and I really enjoy your discussions, especially regarding other MMOs on how they compare to Guild Wars. See, I'm glad she said that, because I always feel a little bad when we talk about other MMOs, but it's good to hear that. My friend just started to play World of Warcraft, and since I have never played another MMO, or many other games for that matter, I'm not sure how to describe the differences between the two. If you have any tips or ideas I could share, I would happily do so. I'll leave it there for now and write again later to tell you more about me and my gameplay style and what I'm hoping for Guild Wars 2. TTFN, Julie. I actually, I'm glad you asked, a few years ago, now this might be a little updated or outdated by now, but a few years ago I wrote a post at Massively comparing, it was called The WoW Player's Guide to Guild Wars. And it was kind of comparing the two, you know, what to expect if you're a Guild Wars player and what to expect if you're a WoW player in playing Guild Wars. I think it's actually more catered towards the WoW players, because we've been doing those for a while because there are more WoW players out there, but we understand that they want to branch out, but they might not be, you know, familiar with what's out there and things like that. So it's kind of like, if you're a World of Warcraft player and you want to try Guild Wars, here you go. I will link that in the show notes, or Ruby will, because I think it's really important. But as kind of a basic overall thing, I think there are a lot of differences between the two. It really, I mean, ironically, the team that started ArenaNet came from Blizzard, you know, so they kind of started it as a, you know, we're tired of this type of game, this EverQuest and World of Warcraft type of game where you get ganked all the time and you get, you know, you get different penalties for this and that. And they said, you know, we just want to make a fun game with fast travel and no worry about crafting and no ganking and things like that. So so World of Warcraft is heavily persistent. And I'll make this quick because it's this could go on forever. But World of Warcraft is heavily persistent. It's very gear-based. You know, it's all about getting that gear. It's all about the loot drops, things like that. And it's but it's a much, much larger world than Guild Wars. You can jump. There's that.
it's important.
There's a whole line of crafting, and you know, you can specialize in different ways to enchant and disenchant, and you know, I mean, it's really kind of crazy. There's like leather making and, you know, skinning and blacksmithing and all this type of crafting, whole different side of it, where you gather resources and you build stuff. Guild Wars crafting is essentially taking things apart, you know, for the materials and then using them for something else. But it's very linear and very specific. And that's another thing is Guild Wars, the quests and the way the maps are set up are very linear as well. There's not a lot of exploring, even though there are explorer titles for kind of scraping the sides of the map, you know, but it's not set up to be an explorer game. I mean, when you play a game that's made like to be for explorers, like Fallen Earth or Worm or something like that, it'll blow your mind because there's literally anywhere you can go in those games. Mm-hmm. So that said, Guild Wars is kind of, it's kind of an MMO light, and the reason for this is to go hand in hand with the no subscription fee. you know, Arena Net designed Guild Wars to be a cooperative online role-playing game, you know, where you get together in hubs, you know, major cities, you get together with people, and then you go out into instances, and you do these battles where you don't have to run into other people or worry about them stealing your loot and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a completely different game. I mean, the only similarities I would say are, let's see, the fantasy setting. Some of the dances are the same. and other than that, I mean, it's really completely different games. You know, it's even the way the skills are set up. You know, they have skill bars, but Guild Wars has a set skill bar that you have to set up before you go out to your battle. In World of Warcraft, you can fiddle with that all day long. And it's I don't know. I think the thing is with both games is it's you have to take the pros and the cons with it. You know, the biggest thing you have to always keep in mind for Guild Wars is you're not paying a monthly fee.
Right.
You might be saying, well, you know, it would be great to have this extensive crafting and this big open world like this and this and this and this. But then it's like, well, yeah, but you're not paying that monthly fee. You know, you have to mm-hmm. always keep that in your mind when you think of how much, I hate to say smaller, but it is kind of a smaller world with Guild Wars. So yeah, just go ahead and check that out on the show notes for today. There'll be a link to that original post I did about, you know, WoW Player's Guide to Guild Wars. And that should answer all of your questions, hopefully.
Actually, and you know what? I may put in two links to the entire WoW Player's Guide thing, because the WoW Player's Guide is something that Massively has been doing for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I was like just looking, and we started in 2008. Yeah. But if she's wanting to branch out, you know, we're talking about how we do play other games sometimes, and WoW is the only thing she's played. There are some really cool guides here.
Yeah. Yeah, often imitated, never duplicated. That's what I always like to say.
But yeah, I'll definitely link to both of those.
Cool. Okay, this next email, the subject line on this is, you skipped my last email, so please read this. I can't deny that one, right?
You gotta.
Okay, so it says, hello, Sean/Ruby. My name is Repod Nagain. I'm a long-time listener, and this is the second time I'm writing. Hopefully the first time you'll read my mail. About the last day of the human week, the one about the three military branches, I love how people on the forums are already taking sides. It goes to show the small story about the ministry guard detective did a lot to give us a feel of the three army branches. I already saw some people in favor of the throne and others in favor of Caudicus. For what it's worth, I don't believe Caudicus is necessarily evil. In the end of the story, he did seem very evil emperor-like, but I'm seriously hoping that Anet doesn't make this a good versus evil kind of thing. I think it would be a lot more interesting if both Jenna and Caudicus were different shades of gray, each wanting the best for the human race. In the book Edge of Destiny, and without spoiling anything, Jenna left me with mixed impressions. I certainly felt she was in a certain shade of gray, instead of being the paragon of all that is good and happy. I got the feeling that she was a little too self-absorbed and not the best queen. I'm hoping that Caudicus is somehow similar in that regard. From what I gathered, Queen Jenna seems to be taking preference for the Seraph and the Shining Blade, the heads of each being a love interest and the old friend, respectively. It seems to me, based on the tidbits of lore, that the Queen is taking preference in those two military branches over the Ministry Guard. This could cause some problems on the balance of forces between the three branches of the army. There's obviously some clash of interest between them. An imbalance could be a very bad thing for the Crichton army in its whole. What do you guys think about this? Also, the small story gave me a feeling that the Shining Blade was responsible for the minister's death. Maybe he was a conspirator, White Mantle, or maybe he was just an angry Ascalonian that did not like the Char Treaty and was plotting against Jenna. Either way, easily identifiable poisoned wine doesn't seem like a good method of operations for such a high-tier organization as the Shining Blade. Thanks for making such an awesome podcast. I'm Repud Nagain, writing from Portugal. Wow, so you want to chime in on any of this?
You know, I actually do. I can see what he's saying about Queen Jenna as a shade of gray, and I'm not too worried about spoilers these days because the book came out ages ago. Mm-hmm. But I felt like she was really using Logan because he felt this – well, first of all, because this relationship between them, whatever it is, seems to have sprung up so quickly, and – he's just all about, oh my gosh, she needs me. I have to go to her and nothing else is important. I feel like there's, I can't think of a better phrase than mind control. I feel like she's mesmerized him and she's done it deliberately. And I can, but not maliciously. I feel like she knows what she feels like is the best for her country and what she needs to do. And she's going to use what means she has at her disposal to do so. It's a definite shade of gray. So I am absolutely right there with you.
Cool. Yeah, the shades of gray. The shades of gray are always more interesting anyway. So I can see what he's saying. I can see his approach there, that he doesn't want just cut and dry, black and white, good, evil. You know, the shades of gray would make a more interesting story, I think.
I think so. And I feel like there's always been a little hint of that here and there in Guild Wars. Maybe not with the White Mantle. We know they're horrible. But like with the Char, they were introduced, we were introduced to the game as this is your enemy and they are pure evil and this, that, and the other. But then the more time passed and the more we learned, the Char were there first. Mm-hmm. And we came and we booted them out of their land. Mm-hmm. So there's a definite shade of gray. You know, nothing's clearly defined there. That line's blurred.
Hey, when you say we, I'm going to be a Char, so you can say you.
You're clearly evil.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, we knew that anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, next email says, hi, guys. I was watching the Guardian videos again today, and I saw something interesting. In the video that shows off the skill zealots defense, the third creature the Barbie Guardian faces is throwing what seemed to be a powder cage grenades out of the large backpack, which bears a striking resemblance to Crank's, the character in the Guild Wars book, Ghosts of Ascalon, when he blew up Golic. Laughing to myself, good times, he says. Anyways, I hope this is a hint to engineer-type profession in Guild Wars 2. I want it as bad as I want it a mesmer. Thanks for your thoughts. Dan C., also Indiana Dan, from the Cranky Deadheads. Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, we've speculated on that before. That's actually a good point. I didn't notice that in the video, but that is a good, you know, you have a good eye for that. You saw that, and hopefully engineer. I'm really hoping for that too. I would really love that a lot.
You know, that would be pretty cool. And that brings to mind something in Edge of Destiny when one of the Asura, whose name escapes me, and don't correct me, I'll look it up afterwards, but one of the Asura, he hid an entire golem in like a billion grains of sand.
Oh, yeah.
And remember that? They were in the arena, and the thing came out of the sand and formed itself. That was cool.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Next email. Says the subject line on this one is Mesmer Profession Info Leak.
Well, they got you.
Yeah. And then he says, okay, now that I have your attention, Sean, fulfill my fanboy wishes and read this, please. Hey, Sharoon B. He mixes the names together. There.
I think they just, like, write all the letters on pieces of paper, throw them in the air, and pick them up at random, and that's what we get.
It works.
Someone's going to do that.
I love your guildcast, and I'm following it religiously. I recently had the privilege of becoming an MVOP member, Spirit of the Neuter, pronounced Nutter. Oh, okay. Yeah, I said Neuter. It's a little different. pronounced Nutter, and then he says, damn character restrictions. Yeah, that's a – when you have one N in there, it's
the Spirit of the Neuter. Look out. Neuter.
That's a whole different spirit. Okay, number one, I've been wondering how the new Dervish reroll will affect gameplay and how being secondary Derv would affect you. My main is a Dervish, and I would really hate to see them killed. And then he makes a little sad panda. Yeah, that's something we still have yet to see how that plays out. And I'm sure they're going to balance it, you know, from here on out.
I don't think they're killed, though. I think I didn't see, you know, a lot of really horrible reactions, so.
Yeah. Okay, number two, the human week was kind of informative and kind of boring, to be honest. I have to agree with Ruby, pew pew, WTF.
Thank you.
Number three, would be interesting to have a discussion with the two of you how the height of characters will affect gameplay, as hiding behind objects can block projectiles. What happens if a tall Norn hides behind a short wall that is as tall as an Asura? Would it be fair to block attacks for the Norn with her whole torso sticking out and the Asura is totally hidden? Hmm. That's a good point. That's something that I wonder if they've addressed.
Oh, I'm sure they've thought of it. I can't wait to see how that works out, though.
Yeah.
Will you have an advantage? Will you be able to hide behind more stuff if you're a tiny Asura?
I know in games like Vindictus, they actually have an advantage with the height of your character. If you make your character the tallest it can be, it has a better reach, so it can actually swing its sword and hit you from farther away, but it's slower. So if you make a smaller one, it actually has a faster hit, but it you have to be right up on them to hit. I like that a lot. I like that comparison. And I mean, it's not about blocking, but I hope that kind of technology, you know, is used in a game like Guild Wars 2. That'd be cool.
That is a pretty cool system. Yeah. I'm going to be watching now to see how they do that.
Okay, number four, guild systems. I would like it if they have the guilds in Guild Wars 2 the following way. Once your guild starts, they can give you a ruined guild hall. Think like Overlord 1, 1 half, 1 dash.
1 and 2?
1 and 2. Dark Tower. You can then, as you gain more numbers and complete guild achievements, build your guild up from there. The number of members in your guild is not so important. Some achievements unlock certain customizable features within the guild, like different colored flags, spikes, guild lord armor, looks only. Maybe once we know more about the crafting of Guild Wars 2, they can add forges that boost your crafting. Like guilds in Guild Wars 1, you had to buy the merchants. In Guild Wars 2, it should be unlockable on guild achievements. This will not affect GVG should it be implemented, yay or nay. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Wow, that... I love those ideas.
Yeah, I do too. I'm all for customization. I mean, you think about when guild halls started out, they were pretty much a place to kind of sit around and talk and then have GVG battles. And now, you know, they implemented it to where you could put NPCs in there, and, you know, they made it a lot more customizable that way. And then, of course, now they have every NPC you could think of, kind of like merchants and things like that, you can put in there. So it seems like they recognize the fact that customizable guild halls would be cool, but maybe they're restricted by the current engine, you know, and I don't know.
That maybe I would like to see, you know, I would love to see more versatility. A lot of what he's talking about, I hate to speculate on anything and get my hopes up, though, because we know literally nothing. Mm-hmm. We know that guilds will exist, and that's it. And I'm looking at this stuff going, oh, I'd love that. Oh, no, I'm going to be sad if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, we love to do that on this show. You know, we read an email, and we speculate on stuff like that, and it's always like, yeah, that would be cool, but we don't know. We just have no idea. So it's all speculation at this point.
Mm-hmm. This is good speculation, though. I love this.
Yeah, it's different than the normal profession speculation, which is
it's a nice change.
Yeah. Okay, next email. This is a good one. Do you remember? Let me ask you this before I read this. Do you remember the Shadowed Blade?
Vaguely.
Okay, I don't know if you were around back then, but when I first started Guildcast, I first started the podcast and the guild and everything, there's a guy named the Shadowed Blade, and he would come on, and he was actually an officer in our guild for a while. He was a very prominent figure, I guess you could say. I mean, he always won the contests, which was funny. We would have contests. I know he won the first couple. We had races from zone to zone, and he would win all those, and then he would win trivia contests. I mean, he was really, it was kind of funny. At some point, it was like, who's going to beat the Shadow Blade this week? Is anyone going to beat the Shadow Blade? So, I mean, he was really cool. And he wrote in, he says, hey, Sean, this is the Shadow Blade from back in the early days of Guildcast. I think I was in one episode once, plus lots of contests. Yeah, he was in one episode, at least one, I think.
Oh, cool.
Just want to say great job on continuing the podcast. I know you started it back up last year or so, but I just found out about it now with episode 36. It's great to hear you covering all the new information and updates about Guild Wars 2 and to hear the discussion about them. I'm looking forward to listening to more in the future, especially when Guild Wars 2 is released, if that ever happens. Who knows, maybe you'll host some more trivia or location identifying contests. Hope so, the Shadow Blade. Yeah, so yeah, it's really cool to hear back from him.
Awesome.
It's been, you know, 5 years since, you know, since he first... I imagine he's one of those that we were talking about before that was probably in high school when we started. Now he's probably graduated from college by now, you know. And,
wow.
Like a grown-up and stuff, so, yeah.
Grown-ups. That's so cool that he called in, that he wrote in,
yeah.
That he called in. I don't know if he called you or not.
No. Okay, next email. Hi, Sean and Ruby. So instead of going on a rant, I'm going to cut it right down to business. Uh-oh. With the Human Week, we've had a surplus of GW2 information and a bit more insight to the way the character models look. First of all, I have to compliment ArenaNet. Guild Wars 2 is the most beautiful MMO I've ever seen. I have to agree.
Definitely.
Second, I started thinking of how some of the armor we've seen would look on a Char. I'm pretty sure a Char isn't going to walk around town in a dress or suit. And the Norn and Asura probably won't wear the same size. Anyway, I guess my question is whether you believe the difference in appearance will be significant or just small changes. I must admit, seeing a Char hop around in a skirt does kind of crack me up. Tushan, Mesmer. Yay! From Sweden, I hope you bring us lots of great news at GDC. And then there's a name there, and I can't pronounce it, but under it says, if you can't pronounce that, just call me SpongeBob. So I'm going to call you SpongeBob.
Yay!
No, but I think that that's a good point. Again, it's one of those things that haven't they already talked about that a little bit when they had the armor thing? They're talking about the differences in the races.
Yeah, a bit. And I think I don't think anything's going to look odd due to inattention.
Yeah, it's not like they will have one size fits all, you know, like these spandex, elastic, even spandex wouldn't fit a Norn probably, but.
You know what, I want to see a Char in spandex now, just for the fur, like, poofing out the armholes.
Yeah, I imagine it's all going to be sized, you know, per race, gender, I mean, it's all going to be different. I mean, they do that now anyway, just with the genders, having, you know, different armor with each one. Plus, I mean, we've seen these as enemies, as NPCs, you know, we see that they have different armor. So, I mean, plate armor on a human is going to be different than plate armor on an Asura and on a Char. You know what I mean? It's just, and not only, it's not, this is what I think. Now, this is not confirmed, but this is what I think. I would imagine that a set of plate armor, you know, called your heavy battle armor, mm-hmm. is going to be completely different from an Asura, who's going to have more of a, you know, straight edge, squared off, kind of a, you know, I don't know how you'd say that. You know what I mean? More a technologically...
More mechanical looking.
Yeah, more mechanical looking mm-hmm. armor. Their plate will be like that, whereas a Char will probably have these scrap metal pieces that are, you know, wired together with whatever. You know what I mean? It's. I think it'll be the same type of protection, the same ends, you know, the same kind of end product, but just look completely different, I imagine.
Yeah.
It would only make sense.
Well, and think about it. They're either going to have to create the armor that fits different characters, or they're going to have to create the animation for it to drag on the ground when an Asura wears it.
And I want to see that.
Crud. Now I do, too.
Actually, an Asura, they could save money and just use like a glove and just put it over their whole body.
Just cut a Norn glove?
Yeah, just cut the finger holes out, poke mm-hmm. their head through there, and there you go. So that's what I want to
like
know.
Like a little barrel.
That's what I want to know. Will the Asura armor be cheaper? Actually, didn't somebody ask that one time?
I think so.
Yeah, that, I think we had an email about that.
Yeah, that that would be fair. I mean, how much less materials do you use?
Yeah, see, there you go. Okay, next email says, "Hey, Sean and Ruby, longtime listener, Cyan the Unbeatable. Been listening since 7th grade." Wow. Do you know when I was in 7th grade?
Yeah, because... Oh, gosh, don't say it, because it's pretty close to when I was in 7th grade.
1987.
You weren't supposed to say it.
Okay, I have a question that has been floating around in my mind ever since I heard about Guild Wars 2. Is there going to be a Paladin class? I thought that my dreams were coming true with the Guardian, but that is more defensive than the classic Paladin. I was wondering if you think that they're going to come up with some class or subclass that allows someone to combine the smiting slash protection of a monk with the melee... with the melee mace swinging of a warrior. Your greatest fan, Cyan the Unbeatable.
Oh, I think he already did that.
Yeah, I think the Guardian
is it. Sorry.
I think the Guardian is it. I think that... but here's what I think. I think it'll be versatile enough where you can probably play it more like a Paladin. You know, I mean, it showed all the different types of spells they have. Like, not all of them, but, you know, a few different types of spells. And it seems like somewhere in there, you can fit kind of a paladin-like build. Wouldn't you agree?
I think so. I think the versatility was what attracted me to it. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to be able to play it offensively if you want.
Yeah.
Offensively as opposed to defensively, not like cursing and stuff.
Hey, I can play it like that if I want.
You do play like that.
Okay, next email. This is the subject line. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Ugh.
So we were wrong. But this is from Ken from Chicago. We love Ken from Chicago. He says, "Hi, Sean and Ruby. I needed to correct some mistakes in last week's episode. Number one, town clothes in Humanity Week on Guild Wars 2? Wrong. Don't fall for that misdirect from Regina. Uh-oh. You can't always trust community managers. No offense, Ruby. Ouch. Obviously, that was Mesmer armor because that's what Mesmers wear for armor. And then he's got town clothes, and he has a link to the Designing Humans blog that we talked about last time. And then he has Mesmer armor, and he has a picture from the wiki of the Mesmer armor. He's kind of showing, you know...
that we're wrong.
That well, that he's saying that there's like this big cover-up, you know. Get it? Cover-up, clothes.
But
yeah. And he says, contemporary vernacular is such a shock in Guild Wars 2? Wrong. Arena that actually foretold this in their voiceover and dialogue at last August. And then he's got a link to the blog post called Talking Heads, VO, and Dialogue in Guild Wars 2. Okay, and next point. Modern speech isn't bad, just not for Ruby. That's just her opinion. Wrong. Wait a minute. What? They use modern vernacular in Ghost of Ascalon, which Ruby loved, and even more so in Edge of Destiny, which Ruby loved even more than the first novel. Logan and Brimstone sound exactly like a pair out of the 1980s buddy cop movie. He's got this little quote here. It says, "One's a human guardian defending the shrinking human homeland, and the other is a feline humanoid ridding the land of human infestation. Will these two put aside their differences to get rid of their common dragon foe?" Yeah, that's the 80s cop thing.
Oh, totally. Especially the feline humanoid part. Oh, yeah. Wait, no.
Okay, next point. He says, "Sexy armor is okay because people have power to create heat to withstand the elements." Wrong. Ruby was closer to right in her explanation. ArenaNet said that they were making a variety of armors, so for those gamers who prefer the more fantastical, more daring, they would have armor, while those more modest or pragmatic, they would have armor. It fits with ArenaNet's pattern of not providing for only one type of gamer. Actually, let me break in here, because they did literally say in that blog post that if an elementalist is shooting fire, they need to be more comfortable, they wouldn't have heavy armor. Like, they literally said that in the blog post. So, that one right there, I'm going to call you out on it.
But they're wrong.
Oh, right. Next point. "Hey, why do I keep listening to the show since I obviously hate it so much?" Wrong. "Even on the rare occasion when I disagree with the hosts, the show, the hosts, the game, and the guests are always entertaining, even when they get distracted by the Worm Online crafting." Oh, there we go. "Enlightening and just plain fun to listen to each week, or twice a week, as the case may be. Ken from Chicago, who's been distracted by DCUO of late, since he's got 27 of 50. Okay, wrong. You play DCUO, seriously, and you're telling us we're wrong? Oh, I kid.
Just, he doesn't kid.
Yeah, oh, I don't kid. No, but I appreciate emails like this because they are, you know, they go down the line and they kind of talk about the things that, you know, that may not be agreed upon. Except for that one point. I'm going to call you out on that, Ken. So you can write me back if you want. But they did actually say in the blog post, they said that, you know, if you're a character generating a lot of heat, you're not going to be wearing heavy armor. So that was that. But yeah, thanks for the email, Ken. I think these are really good points. The Mesmer one with the clothes and the armor, yeah, I mean, okay, here's the predicament that ArenaNet's in right now. They can't come out and say, yeah, that's Mesmer armor, but we haven't announced the Mesmer yet. You know, they can't say that. So it's one of those things where, I mean, I'm not saying that they're lying about town clothes because they're not, but, town clothes are a completely different thing. You know, it's like you can get town clothes to look like whatever you want to look like. And those might be town clothes, but they still look very mesmerish, right?
I think so.
So, yeah. You're just letting me dig a hole right here, aren't you? You just keep your mouth shut.
I'm just enjoying how hard you're trying to forestall my rant.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing I can edit out rants, though, right?
Yeah. You usually do, don't you?
No, I love your rants. They're awesome. I keep those in. Okay, so we actually just got an email like 17 minutes ago, like while we were recording this, so this is awesome. I'm going to read this one. It says, "Hi all. I've been reading through the recent update to the Dervish. Now I feel guilty for re-rolling my poor neglected PvE Dervish into a PvP one last fall. Granted, I mostly did that because I didn't like her name. I'm curious if I'll find new life in the Dervish profession the same way I did when they revamped the Ritualist. Do you find that a revamp like this is like starting over with something brand new, or is it all regret mixed in with nerf rage?" That's from Flipside. We kind of touched on that earlier, that it's like playing a new character, so that should be a good thing, except for the people who really enjoyed playing their character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of an either-or kind of a thing. I think if people love the Dervish enough, and they love the mechanics of it, I mean, they didn't change the mechanics of it. It still wears a dress, right? So,
yeah.
And the other stuff that it does, I forgot. So it still has the scythe wheeling, PBAOE, you know, type of a damage dealer, enchantments, avatars, things like that. It still has all those. They haven't changed that. So, I mean, it's still the core Dervish, but they've just tweaked a lot of stuff. So I don't see it as a bad thing. I don't think most people see it as a bad thing, do they?
I don't think so. The opinions have been mixed, but overall positive.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not everybody's going to like it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But overall, it's been cautiously optimistic. I mean, everybody's got to relearn everything first and see what they think.
Good times. Okay, well, that's all the email we had this time, and we are all caught up except for the ones that I skipped. But yeah, if you from last show, yeah, I love the crazy subject lines. Like, I'm so glad that I said that, because I'm so glad that people are writing in stuff like Mesmer reveal, and then I mean, of course, I know that they're just messing with me. But
they make you cry.
Yeah, they make me cry, but it's funny to me. So. Yeah, keep that up. That's good times. And next week, what we're going to do, we are going to have a show next week. It might be early, I'm not sure, because we are going to be leaving that weekend to go to GDC. And so we won't have a show the following week, the 4th, I believe it is, somewhere on there.
March 4th is Friday.
Yeah, we won't have a show then because we'll be at GDC. We'll try to see if there's anything we can record as far as, you know, things we see there. We're not sure what's going to happen or anything. Most of that, though, will probably be for other games, and it will be for, it'll be on Massively on our other podcast.
Because
We will record an episode there for
Massively Speaking.
Yeah, for that podcast. So if you miss us that much, I mean, you just can't live without hearing Ruby's voice for another week, then you can go listen over there, and everything should be fine.
You'll be okay. We'll be back. But I think we usually record on Fridays. And I think March 4th, that Friday, I don't think we're going to feel like doing anything.
No, we're going to be getting ready to fly back. And it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep those emails coming. Sean@guildcast.com or Ruby@guildcast.com. And check out our Twitter and Facebook. Our Twitter is twitter.com/guildcast. And our Facebook is, if you do a search, actually there's a... The Facebook group is run, it's kind of like a fan-run thing, so it's kind of cool. What else? We have the website, where we have all the show notes for this episode with links to some of the things we talked about. And, of course, we have previous episodes, and we have the archive of the original Guildcast episodes back 5 years when I had a little lapel mic that was really cheap and bad.
Aww.
So until next week, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
We'll talk to you then.